the Columbia Broadcasting System presents The Man Behind the Gun, dedicated to the fighting forces of the United States and the United Nations, and broadcast in the hope that these authentic accounts of men at war will bring you a better understanding and deeper appreciation of the job our fighting men are doing on every battlefront in the world, and the job we have to do to back their attack with extra war bonds. During the past year and a half, The Man Behind the Gun has covered nearly every aspect of the global war which your boys are fighting. But some of these broadcasts seem to be more memorable than others, and we are constantly receiving requests from you to repeat them. One of these is Incident in the Pacific, a story of submarine action which we originally broadcast last March. Many of you since then have asked to hear it again. And so tonight, The Man Behind the Gun is a sailor with dolphins on his sleeve, a submarine man somewhere in the Pacific.
Rig for diving, pass the word.
Rig for diving, pass the word.
Rig for diving, pass the word. Rig for diving, pass
You're standing by for the first dive of the cruise. From now until you get back to port, the sub will be ready to dive on 30 seconds notice, night or day. From now until you get home again, you'll be under the sea most of the time. It's business now. But there's something wrong. You've made dives many times before. But this time, there's something wrong. Your head aches and you don't feel right in the stomach. You're sweating it out already.
Boy, I got the shakes for fair.
Yeah, what's the matter, Quinn? You don't look so good. Maybe your pan's got all the animation of a dead codfish.
Oh, lay off. I got the jumps, that's all. I ain't felt like this since my first time out.
Fine thing. You and the bow planes with stage fright and me with my insurance not paid up. Come on, snap out of it, will you?
Diving station, stand by!
You take your station on the bow plane control wheel. You sit there on a little stool facing the dive meter with your hands on the huge wheel that controls the projecting fins up forward. The fins that send you up or down when you're underwater. Everywhere around you is machinery, gleaming metal in the light. And behind you, sunk like two posts into the deck, are the periscopes. The captain stands there waiting for his second officer to report.
Ship is rigged for diving, sir. 2, 3, and 5 banks at 2,400 pounds. Kingston's closed. Main induction open. Bow and stern planes tested. All stations manned and ready, sir.
Very well. All ahead full. Steady on course 180.
All ahead full, sir. Steady on 180.
Take her down 100 feet.
Diving!
Right, Captain!
Ready to bend, sir.
What auxiliary is your see-through manifold to 18,000?
Aye, aye, sir. 10,000. 11,000, 12, 13, 14,
vent bow buoyancy, hard dive on bow plane,
17,000 auxiliary,
secure flooding. What's the angle on the boat?
10 degrees dive bubble, sir.
Bump from auxiliary to forward trim, take the angle off the boat.
Aye, aye, sir.
Take the angle off the boat.
Zero dive bubble, sir. Down 100 feet, sir.
Very well. Secure the pumping.
Aye, aye, sir. Secure the pumping.
All ahead normal. Steady on base course.
All ahead normal. Steady on base course, sir.
Very well. Chow down the men off watch. Pass the word. The smoking lamp is lit.
Chow down the men off watch. Pass it. The smoking lamp is lit.
Chow down, pass the smoking lamp is lit. Chow down, pass the smoking lamp is lit.
You're off watch now. The seaman comes and taps you on the shoulder without saying anything, and you slide off the seat and he takes your place. You can eat now and smoke if you like. But you're sick to your stomach. The idea of food is nauseating to you. You're afraid. You're wondering what's got into you all of a sudden. Why, after all the times you've been out, are you making a fuss about going to sea? You've gone out plenty of times, never thought a thing about it. You aren't even sweating when the bow planes on the Cooper jammed and you hit bottom at 400 feet. Then you remember the S-9. That went down 400, too. And it stayed there. You're still thinking about that when you reach the galley.
Hey, Quinn.
Hi, Gary.
Hello, Larry. Hello,
your hands are shaking as you draw a cup of coffee. You have to hold it with both hands to drink. And Latimer, the pharmacist's mate, keeps staring at you.
Why are you staring at me, Doc? My slip showing?
You ain't pretty, Quinn. You feel sick?
When I do, I'll tell you.
That's no way to be. Why don't you let me take a look at you while you're off watch?
Leave me alone. I'm all right. There's nothing the matter with me. Not a thing.
Okay. Forget I said it.
Well, why didn't you let him give you a pill, Quinn? What do you got to lose?
I don't need a pill. Just off my feet or something. Did you have a good liberty, Blackie?
Oh, did I? My hat blew off.
Hey, what are you going to have to eat, Quinn?
Give me some more, Joe, huh, Cookie?
Yeah, sure. You want sand in it?
No. Give it to me the way it comes.
You know you ain't going to have any teeth left to keep on drinking raw coffee.
They're my teeth.
Okay, just don't beef about it if they start falling out.
The sub is sweating a little. Water trickles down once in a while from underneath the cork lining. The coffee tastes good.
Tastes good.
Yeah. Personally, I don't know what you guys see in this stuff. I took a slug of it once and it put on my hat and shoved me out the hatch before I knew I was awake even. Hey, you want some pie to soak it up?
I don't know. Got any lemon meringue?
No, I ain't got no lemon meringue.
And what do you got?
Now, don't ask me to go through the list. You guys keep coming in here and asking me what I got like it was a short order cook. You want some apple pie, yes or no?
Okay, I'll try apple.
Okay.
You really eat on a submarine. Everything is the best. Plenty of fresh fruit, good beef, even ice cream. Nothing but the best on a submarine. And you know why the food is so good. Up here in the galley, like in every other compartment, there's a metal plate on the bulkhead. A metal plate with the Morse code on it and a hammer on a chain. So you can tap messages back and forth if the sub gets sunk.
I think I'll take a rain check on that pie, Cookie.
Hey, what's the matter? You don't like it? That's good pie.
No, I just ain't hungry, I guess. I think I'll hit the sack for a couple of hours.
Suddenly you have to get out. Suddenly, you aren't hungry and your stomach hurts from being afraid. The days go by. Then it's a week since you left port. The fear that's in you has become a rat gnawing at the pit of your stomach. It burns inside you night and day, so that you lie awake in your hammock, sweating and cursing yourself for sweating, and hoping it won't show in your eyes. And all the time, the sub is getting closer and closer to the Japanese supply lines, close to the convoy routes that the submarine will patrol, where every ship overhead is an enemy, and where Jap destroyers are always alert, listening for the sounds of a submarine, just as the sub listens for the sound of a convoy. And then one morning it begins.
Target, bearing 230. Echo bearing 230.
All ahead, full. Sharp rise on bow planes. Float tanks to 18,000.
The sub quivers as it surges up off the bottom of the sea. This is business now.
Level off at periscope depth, mister.
Aye, aye, sir. 5 degrees rise.
85 feet. 80 feet. 75. 70. 65.
Level off at periscope depth. Trim bow planes at periscope depth.
Trim, sir. Aye, aye.
Boat is trim at periscope depth, sir.
Very well. Up periscope.
Now the gleaming posts of the periscopes are rising from their wells. And the captain bends over and unfolds the handles as they come up, and then swings the periscope around to the target bearing and hangs there from the handles as he peers through the lens.
What's his speed, sound man?
Speed is 15 knots, sir. Vessel is of Nasaka Maru type.
In every part of the boat, there's silence now. You sit there with your back to the periscope. But in your mind, you see the captain hanging from the handles as he swivels the periscope around from point to point on the compass, looking for other vessels.
Second enemy vessel at bearing 205, sound man. Analyze it for me.
Now the sound man turns his detector to bearing 205. The sensitive plates pick up the beat of the ship's engines and break it down on the dials.
Second vessel is Japanese destroyer, sir. Speed is 18 knots. Course erratic. Relative bearing 040.
Again?
Relative bearing 040.
Very well. We'll take the big one first. Make ready on the bow tubes.
Ready on the bow tubes, sir.
Stand by for a fix, quartermaster. Bearing 025. Mark. Bearing 230. Mark.
You are now 25 degrees starboard, sir. Relative bearing 045.
Very well. Angle on the bow is 35. Range is one division, low power on the socket type.
Range is 2,100 yards, sir.
Torpedo setting 12 feet, high speed. Order of firing is 1, 3, and 5. Repeat.
Setting is 12 feet, high speed. Order of firing is 1, 3, and 5, sir.
Very well. Stand by. All ahead slow. Right rudder to 335 degrees. Give me a time check.
1 second, 2 seconds, 3 seconds.
The submarine turns now and everybody is quiet. The moisture drips down from the plates and sounds like thunder when it hits your head. Your stomach aches again, and the sound of the motors is an intolerable whine. And you stand there, waiting for orders, while the officers time the slow swing of the sub as it turns into firing position.
Stand by to fire.
Stand by, sir.
Steadying up on 335, sir.
27,
28,
29, 30.
Fire one.
Number one, fired electrically.
Fire three.
Number three, fired electrically.
Fire five. Out the seconds, quartermaster.
Aye, aye, sir. Coming up on 15 seconds.
Should take about 30 seconds for that first one to hit at this range.
You'll soon know. 20 seconds. 25 seconds. 30 seconds. 35 seconds.
Missed him with number one.
40 seconds.
Got him. Got him with number three. Down 100 feet.
Diving!
Over now. You're down 100 feet. And suddenly you're sick. Your mouth is sweating inside and you swallow convulsively. The dials in front of you are playing leapfrog. You shake your head and little black minnows swim back and forth against the whiteness of the dive meter. And there's a bonfire in your stomach.
What's the matter with that man?
He's fainted, sir.
Put somebody on the wheel. Leave him there. We can't bother with him now. That destroyer will be on top of us in a minute.
Yes, sir.
Look alive.
Your voices are dim and far away, and the light is in your eyes. You're tired, more tired than you've ever been in your life. And your body is gone. Only your brain is left. You can't feel anything, only see and hear. And you hear the depth charges.
Cut both motors.
Cutting both, sir.
Is settling down in the water. Its forward speed is gone, and like an aeroplane, it glides forward and down, away from the destroyer.
Start both at 200 feet, Mr. Slocum.
Aye, aye, sir.
Take a look at Quinn. See what's the matter with him.
I'm all right now, sir.
You don't look all right. What's the matter with you?
I must have fainted, sir.
You sure picked a fine time for it.
Sorry, sir.
Pardon me, sir. He hasn't eaten hardly anything for a week. I think he's sick, sir.
Two of you men take him forward and put him in my bunk. Tell the pharmacist's mate to give him the once over.
200 feet, sir.
All ahead, full.
They take him forward through the narrow passageway and put him in the captain's bunk. Then Latimer, the pharmacist's mate, comes in.
What's the trouble, kid?
I don't know.
Well, let's take a look.
Your name is Latimer. You've been in the submarine service a long time. You're a pharmacist's mate. A pill roller. A guy gets a bellyache and you hand him a pill. He gets a cold, you hand him a pill. He has a headache, a pill. But this is different. This boy's face is green, and his skin is hot under your hand. Cautiously, you touch him with one finger, to the right and below the navel.
Holy. What's the matter? What's the matter with me, Latimer?
He stares up at you, pleading with you. And you can't look into his eyes. You swallow a couple of times and lick your lips and then turn away toward the control room.
Be right back, kid. Take it easy.
You stumble over the combing in your haste. The palms of your hands are suddenly dry and cold. And you stand there by the forward periscope waiting for the captain to notice you. And your mouth is like cotton.
What's the matter with him, Latimer? Find anything?
Listen, I'm no doctor. All I'm supposed to do is put on bandages and hand out pills. I'm no doctor.
Okay. So what?
Well, I don't know. I can't say for sure. I can't say for sure, but I don't know what to do about it. It's out of my line. He's got to have an operation right away, or he's a dead duck.
An operation? For what? What's he got?
Appendicitis, I'll swear to it.
Appendicitis? 2,000 miles from a doctor with a Jap destroyer running up and down overhead like a kid on a scooter dropping marbles, and he has to go and get appendicitis. Can't you talk him out of it or something?
He's got to have an operation.
Well, don't look at me.
What are we going to do?
Wait a minute. Be quiet. Let me think this out. Stan.
Yes, sir?
Take over control. Take us down to the bottom. I'm going forward. Come on, man.
You tag along behind the captain through the passageway. Suddenly, he stops and turns.
Listen, Latimer. Tell me now, can you do the operation?
I don't know, sir. I never tried.
I don't care whether you've tried or not. Can you do it? Do you know how?
I saw an appendectomy once. I think I remember most of it. I can't guarantee anything. Only this. He might live if I operate. He won't live if I don't.
Okay, that's good enough for me. Come on.
You go forward again until you reach the captain's quarters. Quinn is still lying there where you left him, looking up at nothing and counting the depth charges from the Jap destroyer.
How are you feeling, Quinn?
Kind of funny.
I'm sorry, I get it. Listen, Quinn, this isn't going to be easy. You know what you've got?
No.
Appendicitis.
His eyes light up and he grins suddenly. You wonder why. How can you know that he feels better hearing that than he's felt in a week? That's okay. Appendicitis is okay. He thought it was fear that was eating at his stomach. Fear.
Didn't you hear me? I said you've got appendicitis.
Is that all?
What more do you want? Tell him, Latimer, for God's sake, tell him.
Listen, Quinn. I'm only a pharmacist's mate. Operations are out of my line. I saw one once, and that's all I know about it. I'm telling you straight because you need an operation, and you need it bad. You'll be dead in 3 or 4 days if you don't have it right away.
Well, that's straight enough, all right.
Yeah. That's how it is.
Well, is there a doctor in the submarine?
You're okay, kid. But what's it going to be? Do I operate or don't I? You say.
Get out the knife, Doc.
You know what you're doing now. You know I can't guarantee anything, not anything.
I know, all right. Listen, Wheeler, I gotta hand it to you. You got plenty of what it takes. All I have to do is say okay, but you gotta do the cutting. I wouldn't have the nerve. So, as far as I'm concerned, you're all right.
You're all right yourself, kid. You ready now?
Yeah, sure. Let's get started. Boy, those guys are really trying. That makes 22 ash cans they dropped so far. It makes a guy nervous, don't it?
Now it starts. Up forward, the cook is sharpening his best kitchen knife. Some of the men set up a couple of lockers in the forward torpedo room and cover them with tarpaulins. Their faces are gray.
Have the electricians made rig up landing lights? We need plenty of light.
Aye, aye, sir.
Ace, the torpedo man, is taking the warhead off one of his fish. The torpedo labeled Merry Christmas Tojo. And then, when it's dismantled, they pour out the alcohol in it for sterilizing instruments. They start making the instruments, bending tablespoons into crude hooks. muscle retractors. And while you work and flex your hands, a man reads to you from the anatomy book.
When the anterior abdominal wall is removed, the viscera... What's viscera?
Viscera, guts.
Oh, gee, Latimer, do I have to...
Read.
The viscera are partly exposed. To the left of the liver is the stomach, from the lower border of which an apron-like fold of peritoneum.
Peritoneum.
Doing the best I can, ain't I?
Reed, come on, will you, Reed?
The greater omentum descends for a varying distance and obscures to a greater or lesser extent the other viscera. Below the greater omentum, some of the coils of the lower intestine...
They tear a page out of the anatomy book. It's a diagram of the stomach. And the navigator of the sub measures everything with his calipers and then starts drawing on Quinn's stomach with an indelible pencil, drawing a course for you to follow when you cut.
Right about here is where we're headed for.
Listen, do you have to talk as though we're looking for an island?
The cook comes in then with the kitchen knife and a tea strainer. The tea strainer is for the anesthetic. He comes over and stands by Quinn for a second, and his mouth is working, and there's sweat shining on his bald head as he leans down.
Look, Quinn... I just wanted you to know, kid. Well, any time you want something special from the galley, you just let me know, huh? Even if it's lemon meringue pie.
Thanks, Cookie. I'll take you up on that.
Okay, kid. Okay, it's a deal.
Everybody fades out of the torpedo room. One by one, they slip out. Not saying anything, just getting out. They give you a wink and a nod, and then smile a little at Quinn, lying there naked now. Then they fade out until only you and the captain and the second officer and the guy that reads from the book are left. You push the little table with the instruments on it over next to Quinn. Then you stand in front of it so he won't see the butcher knife and the bent tablespoons. Then you lean over toward him.
Well, kid,
let's go. Let's get started, huh? Now listen, Latimer, everything's okay, see? Anything that happens is okay with me. Know what I mean?
Thanks, kid. I appreciate it. Okay, Reed.
The vermiform process for appendix is a long, narrow, worm-shaped tube which starts from what was originally the apex of the caesum, or whatever that is, and may occupy one of several positions. A, it may lie behind the caesum and the lower part of the ascending colon. B, it may hang down over the brim of the pelvis. C.
And then you start. Two and a half hours it takes you to do a 45-minute operation. 2.5 hours with no sound but the crash of depth charges and the steady drip of ether through the tea strainer, drop by drop, until the can is nearly empty. 2.5 hours of groping and fumbling and cursing in a low monotone. Cursing the submarine and the sea and the man lying there on the table. And the knife, and the light, and the beads of sweat that form on your face and neck. 2.5 hours of leaning over with the captain right behind you, handing you spoons and wiping off your face. And always in the background, the shaking voice of the man reading from the anatomy book. Time, the submarine lying there on the bottom with the lights flickering gently from the concussion of the distant depth charges and moisture dripping down from the plates between heavy layers of cork lining, dripping down from the plates and splashing on the deck like drops of rain. And not a sound anywhere in the sub. Just men sitting very quietly, some of them praying and kissing their Christopher medals, and watching and waiting for 2.5 hours.
finished. Be okay, I think. Okay. Oh, I sure do wish I had a drink.
It's all over. Pass the word. He's okay.
It's all over. It's okay.
He's okay.
He's okay. He's okay.
Oh, by Godfrey, let's get back to work. Every man to his battle station. Stand by fore and aft. We're pulling off the bottom after that destroyer, and if we can't get it any other way, I'll ram it out of the ocean. Full rise on the bow planes.
Full rise on the bow planes.
They got the destroyer. They got a number of transports to go with it. And Dean was okay. 13 days later, he was up and around, bumming lemon meringue pie from the cook. Aboard a United States submarine, somewhere in the Pacific. Incidents in this broadcast are based upon fact. The names used, however, are wholly fictitious, and any similarity to those of actual individuals in the armed forces is coincidental.
Behind the Gun is produced by William N. Rose. Tonight's script, Incident in the Pacific, is written by Randall McDougall and directed by Robert Louis Shea. Jackson Beck is the narrator, and the original musical score is composed and conducted by Van Cleef. Tune in again next week at the same time for another dramatic reproduction of the war your men are waging around the world.
Approximately 130 million of us Americans who will not be asked to get up tomorrow morning before dawn and go hunting Jap ships in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And certainly there are more than 100 million of us who will never be asked to do any more dangerous war service than give a pint of blood to the Red Cross, invest our war earnings in war bonds, pay our taxes cheerfully, and stay out of the black market. There are at least 100 million very lucky people in America tonight. 100 million lucky people who have it in their power to win the war in 44.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.